Thank you, worship team. I know I'm appreciative that there were more people in the sanctuary today. I know my wife is very appreciative that she wasn't up there by herself. But we're glad for you joining us in whatever format, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Facebook, whether it's later on CD. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're worshiping with us, and we're glad that you can join us as we open up God's Word. We are continuing our series this morning from 1 Corinthians. And if we invite you to turn to that book, we're going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first few verses. And we're going to remind ourselves who we are. So this didn't go so well last week, but hopefully I've been working on my part, so hopefully you've been working on yours in terms of the verse we're memorizing together. So, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So I didn't take any more words out than last week, so it's going to look exactly the same, but hopefully I can do better, and hopefully you did better than I did last week. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I did better. Hopefully you guys did better. So living like who we are means there are things that we do and there are things that we don't do. Some things we should do is what we looked at some of those last week. We looked at that we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. That is something we need to do. And we gave you several reasons for that, why we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. The first one is because he empowers the message. He empowers the message. We're not responsible. You and I are not responsible for what happens or the success of the message. We're responsible to be obedient and to do what God has said. He, through the Holy Spirit, is responsible for the success of the message. Not only is he responsible for that, he gave us the message. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit's message. That comes mainly in the form of the Bible. The wisdom and message he has given to us is in Scripture. We also need to rely on the Holy Spirit because he is the one who knows God. Just like you are the one who knows yourself best, God knows himself best. So to rely on the Holy Spirit means we go to him because he is the one who truly knows God. And we do that, number one, by the message. We go to God's Word because all of what God wants us to know about himself is in his Word, is in the message that he has given us. How well do you know God? How well do you know God? We talked about that we're supposed to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is the center of who we are and what we do. Is that your goal? Is that what you're striving to do, seeking to love God with all you are and all you have? Or is there an area in your life that is off limits to God? This is just for me, God. I'll take care of this, and the rest is okay, but that one belongs to me. If it is, what is that area? How has God spoken to you about it? What are you going to do about it? We also need to rely on the Holy Spirit because he teaches us. Are you teachable? Are you willing to learn and be taught from God's Word and by his Holy Spirit? How do you apply biblical truth and principles to your life, to a new area God has confronted you about? How are you doing that? Are you more consistent last week than you were the week before and the week before or last year versus this year? That also spreads out. When we love God with all we are and all we have, it spreads out to our spouse, our family, our neighbors, our friends, our community, even strangers. How are you doing at loving your neighbor? How are you doing at loving your neighbor? Not just loving them, but loving them like you love yourself, as much as you love yourself. We also need to rely on the Holy Spirit because he gives us the mind of Christ. We talked about that means the mind of Christ has to do with taking up our cross daily. Not that we're going to be crucified, but we're following the example of Jesus Christ. We're submitting to God's will, his word, his instructions. Do you do that? How are you doing at that? Or is it just, I'll submit to the ones I like, but the ones that I don't agree with, I'm not going to submit to. Jesus Christ had the right to say no, and I'm God, I can do what I want, but he submitted. He was humble. And we need to have that mind, that approach, that outlook and attitude. So how did living like who you are this week go? Relying on the Holy Spirit? Or did you rely on yourself or something else or someone else this week? So that's where we finished up last week, the end of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. We're going to start this week in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to start out with a question. I want you to think about the birth of a baby. Parents have planned for it. They're expecting it. They've announced it. Family and friends are all excited, waiting and waiting, and finally the due date's here, but the baby doesn't arrive. It's a week late. It's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks late. The parents are given the choice to say, you can have a cesarean section or you can be induced. And they think about it and say, you know what? We're just going to wait. We're just going to wait. In fact, being pregnant has been so spectacular, so great, we want to stay pregnant as long as possible. We want to stay pregnant forever if we could. My wife, I wish you were here because I know you're laughing. My wife is laughing. Men, I don't know where you are on this, but I know everybody, every woman who's ever been pregnant is thinking the same thing as my wife. They are willing to do anything to get that child out at the end of 9 months. I'm ready to offer you 18-year contract, free room and board, weekly allowances, no spankings, if you come out now and sign. Okay? So let's say it doesn't go that way. Let's say everything goes well, the baby isn't late, mom goes into labor, and baby's born, mom and baby are doing great, no complications. Go home, start the process of adjusting to life as mom, dad, and baby, but then something unusual happens. The baby grows, it gets bigger physically, it gets older, but that's it. They don't do anything else but get bigger. They refuse to do anything for themselves. Not that they can't. They won't. They don't. You still have to do everything for them. Feed them, birth them, carry them around. You have to push them in a stroller. But they're continuing to get bigger. They're not walking. They still use a bottle. Not even a sippy cup, but a bottle. They still act like babies. They still, even though they may grow up and become a full-fledged adult physically, they act like babies, like this video we're going to show you.
I don't want to pay bills. I don't want to pay bills. I want to be there now. I want to be there now. No. I don't know where I'm going. Mama, mama. Where's my Wi-Fi? I hate you, Wi-Fi. I hate you. I wanted soy. I wanted soy.
What if that were the case? Would you be good with that? How many would be okay with that? An adult-sized baby, one you had to feed, push in a stroller, give bottles to burp. They acted like a baby, even though they were an adult size, all because they don't want to grow up. They won't grow up. They refuse to. As much as you love your children, and as much as we say we love the infant stage where they can't do anything for themselves, and maybe we even say we miss it, the reality is we don't want them to remain that way forever. We understand the reality. It's not natural. It's not good. It's not healthy. It's not normal. We're going to see how we grasp the foolishness of physical immaturity when you're full grown but acting like a child. We grasp that instantly and naturally, and we understand that it's not normal. That truth applies spiritually as well. Physical maturity applies to spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. So let's look at our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul continues his discussion with the church in Corinth. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like men?" Mere men. "For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" What we're going to see this morning from these four verses are four facts about growing up spiritually. So before we go any farther, let's ask God to help us understand and help us to respond to his word this morning. Father, we thank you for the clear principle that we understand of looking at a child and expecting them to grow not only physically, but in abilities and maturity and capabilities. Help us to see clearly how that applies spiritually. Help us to see individually where we need to grow. We all have areas where we need to grow. We all need to respond to what we hear this morning. Help us not to ignore your conviction, your Holy Spirit speaking to us. Help us to be teachable. Lord, I ask that the technology would be a tool, useful and effective, that it would not be a distraction. I ask you to use me this morning. Help me to be clear. Help me to be a good communicator. Even in a mostly empty sanctuary, we do thank you that people are able to join us in ways that we never imagined years ago would be happening, but that you have planned for and allowing us to hear from your word. Most of all, Lord, may we hear from you and respond, not just tuck away information or be entertained, but that you would be the one who's speaking to us, and that I would be useful and just a tool, that I wouldn't be a distraction or anything other than people would hear you through me, not hear me. We thank you for this. We thank you for the privilege of meeting even in these unique times and the blessing it is to be together and to be knowing that others are joining us. We ask you to quickly allow us to be all back here together, all in the same building, and all celebrating what you have done through us and in us in the time of the coronavirus. And we thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're looking at four facts about growing up spiritually. The first fact comes from the second half of verse 1. It says, as to babes in Christ. Paul says he was speaking to them as babes in Christ. Understand, facts about growing up. Being a baby is a wonderful thing. Being a baby is great. When a couple announces for the first time their first child that they're expecting, friends, family, we all celebrate with them. It's an exciting time. When a family announces a child, any child, no matter what number it is, it's exciting, and we celebrate, and we want that to be a big deal because it is. It is important. Even when a family chooses to say, we're going to not have a biological child, but we're going to adopt, and they announce that, and that God provides that child, we celebrate. We want to celebrate that. No matter how a child joins a family, we celebrate. It is a great thing, and we've had several of those this past year, and we're looking forward to several more throughout this year of 2020. It's the same spiritually as it is physically. Scripture uses the idea or metaphor of birth or spiritual birth repeatedly. John says, "But as many as received him," talking about Jesus Christ, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will or the will of man, but of God." John chapter 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered him, "Nicodemus, most assuredly, or truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Continuing his conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel, I say to you, you must be born again." And if you go through the Gospel of John especially, it talks repeatedly about this because John, when he wrote, had a specific purpose. At the end of his gospel, John says this, "Truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life, spiritual life, new birth, be born again in his name." John carries that idea through his letters later on in the New Testament. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God. Peter also talks about it, the idea that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us. We have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Later in the same chapter, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Being born physically or spiritually is normal, expected, and exciting. Both are good. Both should be celebrated. But being a spiritual baby, a new Christian, is not only a great thing. We all start there. No one was born fully mature spiritually, just like we're born a baby physically and grow up. We all start in the same place. And just like we celebrate physical babies, we celebrate spiritual babies. It is one of the things that we are expected to do, one of our responsibilities as believers and as a church. Jesus, one of the last things he told his disciples was, "Go therefore and make disciples." Go therefore and make spiritual babies and develop them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. We all start here, physically and spiritually. So the most important question is for you who are listening or watching is, have you been a spiritual baby? Have you ever been a spiritual baby? You've been a physical baby. We all understand that. Have you been a spiritual baby? Have you come to the point in your life that says, God expects perfection and I cannot meet that standard? God expects sinlessness and I am a sinner. I need help to meet his standard. I deserve something for my sin, and that is punishment. I don't want that. I want Jesus to take the punishment for my sin. I want to accept that what he's given to me and offered to me. I want that rather than being a one who takes care of his own sin. Have you been a spiritual baby? Have you ever been born again? If you haven't, the rest of the message doesn't apply to you. It only applies to those who have been or who are spiritual babies. So you need to address this question first before the rest of the message applies to you. Have you ever been a spiritual baby? Paul goes on after the end of verse 1 and says in the beginning of verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it." Being a baby is good. Eating like a baby when you are a baby is good. We feed babies appropriate to their age. When they grow, that changes. We don't go from a bottle to a chunk of meat, a steak. The same principle applies spiritually. Peter, in the second chapter of 1 Peter, says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Eating like a spiritual baby, when you are a spiritual baby, is good. But imagine having a full-grown adult choose to drink only milk. That's it. No solid food. Nothing else. Just milk. What would you think of someone like this? Someone who chooses to live like this and act like this. To act like a baby even though they're not. Think of all that that would involve. Things babies get to do that we overlook. Or because they're babies, we even encourage and celebrate. Think about this. We encourage babies to burp out loud. We want them to do that. We pat them on the back, we rub them, and when they do it, we praise them. It's a good thing, we're excited. All right, kids, don't try this at home, but what if you were to belch out loud at the dinner table this afternoon? How do you think mom and dad would respond? Would they respond like the little babies, mom and dad? Probably not. What about when they try to talk? They never get it right. They always make strange noises or mangle words or just nonsense. And we encourage them, we get excited, and we tell people they said their first word. Well, not really, but they said something. Now, if I did that, would you be excited? Would you praise me? No, but I guarantee you would tell everybody what I did. In fact, I heard from people last week when I messed up the memory verse. People who don't even normally attend our church commented to me. So you did tell people what I did, even though you may not be excited about what I did. Babies do other things as well. Things we shouldn't get into, but they're okay for a baby. They're not okay for an adult who chooses to do that just because they want to. We already looked at this verse. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. Make, not converts, not babies. It starts as a baby, but it doesn't stay a baby. We all start here. Everyone knows this. Everyone knows you start as a physical baby and you grow. Everyone knows you start as a spiritual baby, but we kind of lose it right there. Choosing to stay a baby is absurd. Choosing to stay a baby is absurd. We easily recognize how ridiculous this is when we look at the physical idea of an adult baby, not because they're developmentally challenged or physically challenged, but just because I want to be and act like a baby. We wouldn't overlook it, but we do spiritually. We almost expect it and see it as the norm. It's okay to be a spiritual baby. Look at back at verse 1, 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food until now, for you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Spiritual infancy, just like physical infancy, is normal, but it should never be permanent. Spiritual infancy is normal, but should never be permanent. Pastor Brian, I got a question. Paul called them carnal. What does he mean? What is he trying to describe with that term? Well, this description has been used in a lot of ways, mostly about the discussion of salvation. Carnal Christians have been described as ones who were Christians, who are now lost their salvation, who aren't saved but are in the church. It's been used to say, well, people are in categories, carnal or worldly Christians, and then regular Christians. Both are okay, and both are normal, but it's better to be a regular Christian than a carnal Christian. But both are normal, both are acceptable. Okay, thanks for explaining that, Pastor Brian. Can you help me understand that a little more? How should I understand the term carnal? Well, it has nothing to do with whether they're saved or not, or whether they lost their salvation or not. Let's go back to the very second verse of Corinthians. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Paul repeatedly refers to them as brothers in chapters 1, 2, and 3. In chapter 2, which we looked at, he talks about the role of the Holy Spirit, the fact that they had the Holy Spirit. They had the mind of Christ, the very last verse of chapter 2. And then our memory verse, you are washed, sanctified, justified. You are bought at a price. Paul believes he is writing to a group of people who are saved. So it's not about two types of Christians, saved and not saved. It is about two types of Christians. But Paul's point is this. Both, it is not normal or acceptable to have those two types of Christians. Being a carnal Christian is not normal or acceptable. Being a carnal Christian is not normal or acceptable. Okay, Pastor Brian, I shouldn't be a carnal Christian, but what makes me carnal? Why does Paul say they're carnal? Well, it's not about how long they've been saved. It's not about how old they are, whether they're 5, 10, 15, or 20. It's not even what they were before they're saved, and now what they are after they're saved. It is if you can handle and want more than milk. If you can handle and want more than the milk of God's word, can you handle the meat of God's word? What is the majority of your spiritual diet like? Is it milk or is it meat? Some of you just disappeared trying to figure out what you're having for lunch because now there's a steak on the screen and you're hungry. What is the majority of your spiritual diet? Milk or meat? Can you handle? Do you want the meat? Great. What does it mean by milk or meat? Help me out, Pastor Brian. Okay? It's not about how much you know. It's not about how many books you've read, how many sermons you've heard, how many sermons you've preached, how many books you may have even written, or if you've been a teacher or haven't been a teacher. It's not whether you could fill out this chart, fill in the blanks, and explain the timeline of the Bible. I know that's really small, but there's a lot of information, and I couldn't even fill it out. It's not if you can you answer questions like this. Can God make a rock bigger than he can pick up? How many angels can fit on the head of a pin? Did Adam have a belly button or not? None of that says you're spiritual. None of that says you're carnal. It's all about how much scripture. It's not about how much scripture you know. It's about how much scripture you live. It's not about how much scripture you know. It's about how much scripture you live. Okay, Pastor Brian, I'm getting there. I think I've got it. But explain to me what you mean by live scripture. I would be happy to. So this is in your notes. It's going to be on the screen, small. But I wanted you to have this. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. The writer of Hebrews says, of whom? He's talking about Jesus Christ. We have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food or meat. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. But solid food, meat, belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So there's two specific statements in there that help us understand living scripture. Unskilled in the work of righteousness, discerning both good and evil. So let's give an example. Milk. Jesus died on the cross for you. This is foundational. This is important. This is milk. This is where we all begin. Everyone, including a baby Christian, must understand and hear this principle. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus died for my sins. Okay, I'm saved. I can go to heaven. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, here's the meat. It should make you live differently. You should be taking up your cross daily, discerning good from evil. How do I apply the truth of God's word in my everyday life? When I'm at home, when I'm parenting my children, when I'm in the community, when I'm at work, when I'm interacting with people, what does it look like? How does it change me to say that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me? If you're carnal, a spiritual baby, you can't handle truth like this. You figuratively choke on the meat. You may reject it, ignore it, argue about it, look for loopholes, or just say, I don't want to eat that stuff. I want to go back to the easy stuff. I want the milk. Being carnal is about the flesh, not the spirit. You have the mind of Christ because the Holy Spirit is given to you, but it doesn't change anything. You don't pick up your cross. You don't live the mind of Christ. You don't live like who you are. In what areas are you carnal? Or more carnal than spiritual? Where are you still drinking milk when you should be eating meat? Where are you acting like a spiritual baby? In what area or areas of your life do you need to be discerning good from evil? To applying God's word? To eating meat? We all have those areas. What's yours? Facts about growing up. Being a baby is great. It's wonderful. Choosing to stay a baby is absurd. And the next one comes from the second half of verse 3. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Are you not carnal? Are you not behaving like mere men? And he goes on to say, for when one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Facts about growing up. Selfishness impedes growth. He talks about envy. talking about jealousy. That's an internal desire. Strife, divisions, that's how we show we're envious. That's how we're jealous. It's the result or the expression of jealousy. Envy, jealousy. I want what they have. It doesn't matter what it is. I want it. Even if I don't really like it, I want it because they have it and I don't. Jealousy and selfishness is so tied to being a baby. We understand that physically. You do not have to teach a child how to be selfish. Okay? We all know that. Look at the toddler rules of possession. It's kind of small. I'll read you some of them. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had a while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it cannot appear to be yours ever. If I'm building something, all the pieces are mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something and put it down, it becomes mine. Those are just a few. As I was preparing for this message, I recall and went back and reminded myself that this is true. A pastor was speaking that I happened to hear, and he has a special needs child, and one of the needs is vision. He's not truly blind, but very visually impaired, and they were working with a school for those kind of individuals, especially those who have visual problems, and he was discussing with the teacher some things. He said that blind children argue over the color of the crayon they have. And he said, no, there's no way. How did they? You can't even see the color. And they said, how do they find out? Well, child will ask the teacher, what color does my friend have? Blue. Well, I want the blue one. It doesn't matter if you can see or not. It's because they have it and I want it. We're naturally selfish. We have to teach babies, toddlers, to share. It helps them to learn to be unselfish, to grow in generosity. If they're not able to be unselfish and less focused on themselves, they're going to be stunted in other areas. They won't grow because all they're going to care about is me, not how can I help others. Paul says in Corinth, their selfishness, their envy, their jealousy was seen as an example. He says, for when one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos. This is who my guy is. This is whose team I'm on. This is how I show that I'm selfish, I'm immature. Is selfishness evident in your life? Maybe I should say, where is selfishness evident in your life? Because it's all in all our lives. And if we're not combating it, it's going to grow. Maybe it's in your priorities, your commitment, your giving, your attitude, your actions and reactions when things don't go the way you want. When you don't get what you want. I quit, I'm leaving, I'm taking my ball and going home. Maybe you're going to gossip and complain and hold grudges, become bitter and angry. Maybe you won't solve problems biblically, you'll solve them fleshly, carnally. You cause strife and divisions by how you go about doing things and what you say. Where are you most often selfish? Where is it all about you? Where and how has it been impeding or stunting your spiritual growth? Being a baby is great. It's wonderful. Choosing to stay one is foolish and absurd. That selfishness impedes growth. And then the fourth one comes from just a rereading and resurvey of all four verses. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I am of Paul. Another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Paul says, staying spiritually immature is sinful. Staying spiritually immature is sinful. Now, he doesn't say, thou shalt not be carnal. Thou shalt not be immature. But when he describes the picture of what's going on in this church, the immaturity, it's 100% negative. He says, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal. Until now, you were not able to receive it, and you are still not able. You are still carnal. Are you not carnal? Are you not behaving like mere men? not growing up, being spiritually immature, staying a baby, continuing to act like a baby, is just as unexpected, unacceptable, and wrong spiritually as it would be physically. Jesus spoke about it in this manner in Revelations. He said, I know your works, that you are neither hot or cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Hot water has useful purposes. Cold water has useful purposes. But being in between, being lukewarm is not useful, especially when you think about drinking it. Think about when you're thirsty, going to pick up a bottle of water and gulping it down, and it's been sitting in your car and it's warm. Or it's been sitting on the table and it's warm. It's not useful. It's not helpful. It's not, you don't like it. It's gross. It's disgusting. That's God's view. He says, I will spew you out of my mouth. We are spiritually, when we are spiritually lukewarm, carnal, saved but not growing, not because we're not trying, but because we're choosing not to grow. We're not choosing to live like who we are. We're repulsive to God. Just like someone who was an adult physically, but acting and living and behaving like a baby, eating like a baby, would be repulsive to us. Is this you in general? Is this, or is this an area of your life where you are having no evidence of growth? No change at all since you become a Christian? Maybe your response hasn't changed, or your attitude, your words, or your actions. If someone knew you before you were saved and met you now, would they say, there's a difference, you've changed, you've grown? What would they notice? If someone saw you last year or 2 years ago and hasn't seen you since, and they got to spend time with you, would they notice there's growth in your life, a difference? What would they notice? What areas would have grown? What areas would have made steps in towards maturity? If you asked your spouse, your kids, your family, would they be able to say, Mom, Dad, brother, sister has grown in this area? There's evidence of maturity. They're less immature and more mature. They're less carnal and more spiritual. Or would they say, I don't see any difference. They're exactly the same. Nothing's changed. Are you growing spiritually? If you are, where, how, who sees it? If you aren't, why aren't you? We've looked at four facts about growing up spiritually. Number one, being a baby is wonderful. Have you ever been a baby spiritually? Have you started out, have you started that progress of being born spiritually and then beginning to grow? If not, you need to deal with that before anything else. Choosing to stay a baby, physically or spiritually, is absurd. Spiritual infancy, like physical infancy, is normal, but never should be permanent. Being a carnal Christian is neither normal nor acceptable. You should be growing. It's not the rate at which you're growing, it's the fact that you are growing. What does the majority of your spiritual diet look like? Milk or meat? When we talk about meat, it's not how much scripture you know, it's how much scripture you live. Where are you still living, eating, acting like a spiritual baby? Living in that area. Where do you need to be discerning good from evil, to be applying God's word to your life? Selfishness impedes growth. Where are you selfish? How are you selfish? How is it evident in your life? Is it in your priorities? How you act or react? What you say? How you treat others? How you handle issues between yourself and others? Do you hold grudges, get bitter and angry? Where are you selfish most often? Where is it all about you? Staying immature is sinful. Is there evidence of growth, maturity? You're more mature, you're less immature. Again, it's not how fast you've grown, it's that people can see there is growth. What would someone say if you ask them, where do you see growth in my life? Can they see it? Living like who you are, living like who we are means we're growing. We're not staying immature. We're not remaining spiritual babies. Not we know more scripture, we live more scripture, we apply more scripture. We become a doer of God's word more and more and more. We are choosing that. We don't just hear it. We choose to do it and be growing spiritually. Where are you growing spiritually? Or where aren't you, and where do you need to grow spiritually? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the picture we all understand of a baby and the growth that takes place. Lord, help us to understand that spiritually the principle applies exactly the same. You expect us to be growing. We all grow at different rates, but we're all to be growing. Or as you've spoken to people this morning, if you've spoken to me this morning, help us to be looking for ways to grow, looking for those areas where we are spiritually immature and still need to grow. Help us not to be ignoring them. Help us not to be wallowing in them and just enjoying them. Help us to be looking for what your word says about them, how we're supposed to respond, what we're supposed to do rather than respond carnally, rather than respond like mere men, like mere people, but as those who have the mind of Christ and who are teachable and influenced and relying on the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you again for the technology allowing us to have others join us from their homes or from wherever they might be. Lord, use this teaching, not only today, but tomorrow and in the future as others may watch it, that they would hear from you through me, that you would be pleased not only with what's said and done here this morning, but our response to what we've heard, our response to the truth of your word, and that we would be growing spiritually. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Normally, we'd close in a hymn or a song, but we're not going to do that in today. But we'll invite you back 6 o'clock tonight. We will be having a live stream again talking about Sinful Fear and Worry Part 2. We hope to see you there. Have a great afternoon.